Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's August 10th, 2010, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-host, Lavendar. Since our show last week, we've had so many people ask for more information about the August Harmonic Convergence in 1987 and its release point coming up in 10 days on August 20th that we're continuing that topic in this show. Also, Lavendar will be telling us about the different types of galactic walk-ins because there are so many on the planet now. Also on our show today, we are so honored to have renowned psychic Ms. Muggsy joining us. Over the last 9 years, she's done readings on well-known psychic websites such as Live Advice, Keen, and now on PredictMyFuture.com. You can learn more about her work on her own websites, PsychicMuggsy.com and MsMuggsy.com, that's M-U-G-Z-Z-I.com. She also hosts her own radio show right here on Blog Talk Radio on Monday nights from 7 to 8:30 Pacific Time, where she not only does great readings, but has very powerful guests with valuable information, so make sure you catch her show, too. Before I introduce Muggsy and Lavendar, I'd like to invite you to register for free at Blog Talk Radio and mark Muggsy's and our show as favorites, so you'll get reminders when to tune in. Our main website is starseedhotline.com, and the toll-free number is 888-881-0881. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. If you have a question during the show, just call in at 917-889-8292. That's 917-889-8292. And make sure you press 1 when you're prompted so we know you have something to say. And now, it's my great pleasure and privilege to introduce to you Ms. Muggsy. Ms. Muggsy, you are with us now.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it's great to have you here.
It's great to be here. I really enjoy doing these shows and sharing how I got to do what I'm doing so that others can follow suit and find their own potential. So thank you.
Well, you're so welcome. And it is true that everyone has that ability, that sixth or seventh sense, but we just have to develop it. And some people came in, I think, like you did, knowing it. When did you know you were a sensitive?
6 months old.
6 months old.
Yeah.
I was still counting my toes at that time. Wow. So how does that make your life different, like from other humans and starseeds?
I didn't know I was different until I was probably 5. And my mom and dad will tell you that I was basically an adult from the age of 5 years old. When I was 6 months old, I can remember I couldn't walk. I was still in diapers and stuff. But the thing that I remembered the most was I was reading energy. And when people would hold me, I would feel either a sense of calm or love, or this, I just call it like a whacked out energy, out of control, jealousy, vibration, and I would scream every time. And I remember as a kid that there was only certain people that were allowed to hold me.
So you were keeping your vibration pure even then?
Yes, I started very young. Mm-hmm.
So that must have been, what about going, you know, when you started going to school and high school and really fine-tuning that?
You know, I've been so blessed with my parents and my brother, too. When I was placed in my family, of course, I did pick my family. I remember being in heaven. I can remember, or my planet, whatever it looks like, heaven. I can remember being asked before I came down what I wanted in a parent, in my parents, and that I had a certain mission that I was going to do, and I was asked, what do you need to be successful? And they said, do you want rich parents? And I remember adamantly saying, no way. No way I want that karma. I don't want that lifestyle. They asked me, do you want to be in a famous family? No, I don't want any of that. All I wanted was parents that were going to love me, protect me, and help me be who I needed to be. And that's what I got. I remember jumping off a cloud. I remember, this is really weird, but when we come down here, we're only allowed to be upstairs for a certain amount of time because we have to rest. And depending on how long you were down here will dictate how long you get to be upstairs for your respite, so to speak. When you're upstairs, you have total group consciousness, and that I remember. I also remember a sense of peace. You don't pay for anything. There's no stress. Everything's available. It just appears, and everything's so vibrant and beautiful. They have rooms. I remember, like, hallways. You would go down, like, at a major university, and these rooms were off to them. And you would go into a room, and you could do paintings, you could do sculptures. I used to paint, and I remember going all the way to the end of the hall, and you turn left, and there was this major window that overlooked these parks, and that's where we used to paint. And it was funny because one time I was talking to a girlfriend of mine, and her son was listening, and he was about 17 at the time, and I started talking about this hallway, and he started finishing my sentences for me. He remembered those rooms and being in the same room.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but when you come down here, there's two lines. There's the short line, which is for the long life, and nobody wants to come down here for a long period of time, so those lines are very short. But the catch is if you have a longer life, you get to be upstairs longer. If you go into the short life, and I have to tell you, the line wraps around the building. I mean, it's one of those humongous lines. People want short lives. They want to come in here, do a little bit, and then get the heck out. And those lines, really, you have to wait long periods of time to come in. But before you jump, before you actually go into the tunnel of to be birthed, they do erase your memories. I remember that. And I can remember jumping with certain people at the same time. And there's like a gatekeeper before you jump that they watch the time so that you enter at a specific time. You're not allowed to just make the leap. You have to come in at a specific time, and they say, go now. And you have to jump right that second, and you literally jump down a canal. It's a white tube that you come down, and about halfway down, they try to erase your memories. There's something that's in this area where you're supposed to erase your memories so that you can find your true sense of self without the group consciousness or your memories. And I can remember trying to hang on to as many of as my memories as I could. So anyway, that's what I remember about heaven, my childhood. So you got to remember, you know, when I came in, when I was born, I actually had a dark mark at my third eye. And it was there for a couple of months. And my mom was so worried that I was going to have this dark mark at my third eye. It looked almost like a mole. But it went away. And it was the size of a quarter. But it went away. And I know that whatever that sign was something that I brought in from a past life. But it tells who I am, but I have no idea who I am. So anyway, that's my story.
Well, so are you saying that you jumped at a particular moment, at the moment of birth, rather than the moment of, you know, prior to birth?
This is prior to birth. This is when you're actually leaving heaven. That's where I was in a heaven. I don't know what dimension. I don't remember any of that. I can remember seeing, like, it was almost like a cloud formation that was like a floor, and then you could look down and you would just see the blue, and then you could literally see the planets underneath you, and it was like daylight. It was not dark. And I remember standing on the ledge, and they'll tell you, jump now, and then you literally have to jump. And as you go through this tunnel, you lose your wings. which I hated to lose, but about, you know, when you first enter the tunnel, your wings come off, and then you get about halfway through the tunnel, and then they have, like, some kind of a violet light or something that's supposed to erase your memories.
Mm-hmm. So at what part of the gestation period, that's what I'm trying to get to, is
I don't remember being in the womb at all. I remember just coming out. And from what I've been researching, a lot of star seeds don't go in the womb. They come right out, and that's what happened to me.
Hmm. That's interesting.
I was not in the womb. I was just born. And the other thing that I remember, too, is I remember at the age of four, I remember where I was. It was on the lawn in the front of my Aunt Joyce's house, and we were, as kids, were playing, and all of a sudden I got my consciousness hit me at 4 years old, and I knew everything that I needed to know at the age of four, and I remember when it happened. When I was 2 years old, I used to crawl out of the crib and go organize my mom's shoe closet because I knew at the age of two that my mom was always late for work because she could never find her shoes.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mom and dad, my mom said that she knew I was not like other kids. She would watch other kids, and I was completely different. There was things that would just happen, things that I knew. I would tell my parents, like, don't do this or let's go here, and weird things would happen. And then when I was 5 years old, I think I was five, I won my first beauty contest. And some lady that was a psychic came up to my mom, and she told my mom a reading that really freaked her out. And she told my mom, she said, that daughter of yours is not who you think she is, and you better take care of her and guard her. And so my mom knew it was true, and so she went home and talked to my dad, and they discussed it. And my mom and dad went into protective mode, which they still are today. And what they did was we went camping every weekend for 13 years so that I was at school, but then I came home to the family, and on the weekends I was surrounded by family. I wasn't really out in the world with a lot of other people so that they could influence me. My mom wanted to keep me protected because she knew I was being guided. So, yeah.
And that's exactly what you asked for, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Parents would love and protect you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No. And we don't have money, a lot of money, like we're not millionaires or anything, but I have to tell you, we have so much fun with the little money that we have. And we've always had more fun without money than we did with money. We always made, like, our own fun. We went on hikes. My mom and I, to this day, will go out one day and we go pick up litter, and then we'll go get an icy at McDonald's or something. But we just, you know, you make your own fun, and it doesn't have to include money. Money is for security and biological reasons only. But when you start getting into a lot of money, money attracts blood-sucking leeches. And who wants that? So until you know how to manage it,
right?
You know, which a lot of people don't. And I think money is an attractive nuisance. I don't think that's what we're supposed to be focusing on. As a matter of fact, I was shown by my guides that when we cross over, here's what happens. We're going to be laying in our beds. All of a sudden, we're going to be taken up in our light bodies, and we go up to heaven, right? And you're going to go before your panel of judges to review your life just to see where you did really well and where you need help. And when you start to go up, they say, okay, what have you done? And most people go, well, I bought a house. I'm an attorney. I am very important in my community. And they go, no, that doesn't matter. Well, but look at my checking account. I had over $1 million in there. That doesn't matter. Well, I've got diamond rings. Look at all the diamonds I have. Look at all my that doesn't matter. Those are only things, things that are important in this world, but it's not even important on other planets. And that's where a lot of people have their shock moment, is when they realize it's not about the things that they own. It's about the relationships that they create and what they do to serve mankind that is important. You only need your things for comfort. You only need your money for, you know. And your self-identity is not in your job title. It's in what you do with your life.
Absolutely. I heard a quote from a person that just really always stuck with me, is that most people spend their time improving their lives instead of improving themselves.
That's true.
There's a big difference.
And that's why I think men have such a hard time, is because men are really groomed for, in this reality, to value your job title. Don't cry, don't show your emotions, just work, make money, you know. So they have a really hard time expressing their spirituality, but also finding their spirituality. And since duality is kind of being eliminated right now, men aren't being able to find comfort in a job title. And I believe that it's mainly a lot of men that are going to be going through crisis in the next 2 years. Women, we kind of already know, and I think that's why we're here, to help balance things out. And I'm speaking generally. I'm not, you know, focusing on one group, but this is what I'm seeing develop a lot.
So let's talk about the readings that you do, and how is it different? I loved what you had written, that you're not just another card flipper. that says a lot. But tell me, how do you work? How do you you go about your readings, and how does that differ from other psychics, so-called psychics?
Well, okay, that's. I'm not another card flipper. The reason why I picked that as my tagline is because when you're working on a major psychic site, whatever that is, they have what they call 7-Eleven psychics that stay on all the time. And what I started noticing is that the true psychics, we can't stay on all the time. There's no way you could be on all the time. Your brain would fry. How can you, you know, be sleeping and wake up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning to do a reading? How could you possibly give that person the best reading possible? So I set really firm boundaries in the very beginning of when I would do readings, and I only did readings when I felt psychic. If I didn't, if I had a cold or if I had company or if I don't. I only, because I want to offer the best to whoever is calling in. Number one. Number two is, when I first started doing readings, when I was 5 years old, my grandmother used to sit me on the couch, and she'd be on one end and I'd be on the other end, and she'd flip up a card so only she could see it, and I would tell her what it was. And that was my training. So when I was teaching college at the time, I wasn't making any money. I wasn't really happy. I was dealing with a bunch of worldly crap that made no sense in my spiritual thinking. And I was told to try to do this psychic reading. I was actually awakened in the middle of the night. Somebody called my name, and I live alone, so I jumped up out of bed. And I was told, go to the computer. So I just went to the computer to see, okay, what do you want me to do? And an ad came up for live advice. And so they said, call this person. I remember I called Special Woman. I don't mean to dog her, because I owe so much to her. But when I called her for a reading, she started to read the cards. And she told me, she said, well, you have the Tower card. This means it's going to be disastrous and your relationship's going to end and you're going to be miserable and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, doesn't the Tower also mean drastic change, which could also mean for the betterment, because we're letting go of old things and new things are going to be coming in? Well, she yelled at me, and she said, I'm the psychic, not you, and you called me, so you listen to what I say. You're not the psychic. So I hung up from the phone call, and I was kind of perturbed, and I thought, wow, that's not right at all. And my guide said, do you see what's out there? do you see what people are going to for help? So they said, sign up. So I went ahead and I signed up, and I thought about it, and okay, I'm going to try to do this. Well, I was scared to death to get on and do a professional reading. I didn't even know I was really a psychic, you know. I just knew I had a little bit of sensitivity. So anyway, my guides told me that morning in the shower about this lady named Rose, was the grandmother, and her granddaughter was going to be calling me, and here's the situation, and told me everything while I was taking a shower, washing my hair. So I'm like, okay. So when I got home from work, I signed on, and the first person that called me, her name was Debbie, and I asked her, I said, is your grandmother's name Rose? And she said, well, yes, she is. And I said, well, she came to me this morning in the shower, and here's what she told me, and this is what she wants you to know. And the lady was dumbfounded, and she happened to be one of my best clients for about a year and a half. So that's kind of how it started. I don't use cards. I rely on my psychic abilities. I use psychic ability, clairvoyant, I'm clairaudient, I can smell, I can do all of it. I can remote view. I can do it all, but I also rely on what they're telling me. And sometimes when I'm doing my readings, I'll actually say, well, I'm getting personally this with my psychic information, but my guides are saying this. So you choose who's right or who's wrong, you know, but here's two readings. So I just kind of went with that. So that's why I can read so fast now. I can read somebody in 3 minutes, and that's because I'm totally listening to what they're saying. I don't judge. I don't interpret. I don't try to do nothing. I just spit out exactly what they tell me. So that's why there's a difference.
And you work with a collection of guides, particular ones, or do you have some guides that come for certain areas of information, and how does that get sorted out?
Good question. Very good question. I have one guide named Eloise, and my agreement with her, when I signed up for this, they gave me their conditions and I gave them mine. And my conditions were that anybody that wanted to talk to me had to go through Eloise, and they had to be at her level in her dimension. Okay, so that's why a lot of people say I can read people that most people can't, and I can soar really high. It's because Eloise is way high up there. So anybody that wants to talk to me or through me or assist me has to go through her first. If she doesn't like them, I don't talk to them. So I don't deal with any low-level astrals, or I don't do none of that. Not only that, but if you want to soar high and perform your psychic abilities to your maximum, you have to stay on your yellow brick road. And what I mean by that is on each side of your road, you're going to have a darkness trying to pull you off. And they do this by trying to get you to steal, or try to get you to lie, or try to get you to do a low vibration behavior. That what was showed to me is every time you do something like that, even if it's like you're at the grocery store and they give you $5 too much, I give it back because it's not worth losing to get off that yellow brick road. It's not worth it to me. But every
right.
time that you, every time you do something that is a low vibration, you cheat on somebody, you're stealing from them, whatever. Every time you do that, it's like putting a rock in your glass and then try to lift it. And that's why some people cannot lift their vibration, is because their vibration vessel is full of these rocks of negativity from the behavior that they have bestowed. And the only way to to empty that is to serve mankind and give back. That's how you empty your glass.
Right. Well, people think that if no one knows about it, then they got away with it, and it's you never get away with it. Yeah,
that's a good point. You don't.
It goes on your permanent record.
So, it does.
And so there are, you know, lower entities, lower vibrations. People call them dark forces. You know, the boogeyman, whatever you want to call it. They're just very low vibrations that are going through their own process of evolution as well, but they do try to trick you and interfere and do things like that. So how do you deal with that when, because I'm sure that either people that call you in either are being influenced by or are very low in their own, you know, challenges that they're facing in their life and they're not taking the high road. How do you help them? What do you tell them?
Okay, first of all, you had like six questions, so let me see if I
can get it.
First of all, is if I have a client that is calling me on the phone that has a dark energy, my guides will tell me don't answer the phone. First of all, so I never even take the phone call. Number two is sometimes they will allow me to talk to the person so that I can raise their energy vibration. So even though they think they're going to call me and suck me dry or whatever bad intent they have, actually, by listening to the tone of my voice, I'm activating them and they don't know it. So that's number two. But if they start to go into an area, like I have people that want to spy on so-and-so to cast spells, let's say. I see a black curtain, and I'm not allowed to go there. I tell them, no, I can't do it. The contract that I signed, number one, is I cannot take anybody's power away. So any reader that's out there that's taken your power away is not coming from the light. And number two is confidentiality. All matter. That's why I like to do readings on the internet, and that's also why I forget all my readings, is because confidentiality is huge to the boys upstairs. So those are
a couple characteristics of true psychics.
Right, exactly. I have seen on major psychic sites where psychics will intervene and get the boyfriend's phone number and call the boyfriend and bitch him out, or will, you can't imagine some of the crap that goes on. It's just horrific. But, or to tell somebody, no, you can't do that. Call me and I'll do it for you. I'll cast a spell. Anytime somebody's taking your power away, that's wrong. That's not ascension. That's not in the light. That's not God's work. So, and that's huge.
That's true. Well, I mean, it's interference with free will, and all you can do is help the person see the truth and then let them take it on their own if they ask for your help in the first place, I would
yes,
think.
Yes, that's big. That's big. They have to ask, and that's why I like people to call me for readings, because that's their way of demonstrating that they want help, whether or not they're paying for it or not. But I can't go around and just read anybody. They have to ask me for help. If it's one of my friends or my family, I don't read them. Unless it's something that's really dire, I absolutely refuse to give them a reading. Because I want to be a regular person. I don't want them to see that side of me. I like to keep it separate. So it's not good to be my friend.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm sure that every starseed listening to us is identifying with that, because I have very few people in my circle of, you know, friends that know what I do with starseed, because you start talking about UFOs and ETs, and so you have to have two separate personas, really. Just one is I'm just a regular person, and you like me for that. And then if they want to know, or if they seem to be leaning in a spiritual galactic vein, then, you know, I might reveal things to them. But, yeah, I understand that you have to keep almost, you know, a secret identity. And that's why there's so many starseed forums where people, they want to seek out others where they don't have to, hide who they really think they are. And how do you bridge, I'm speaking for the people that I know that you have, for people that haven't, going from what, you know, you think you're a starseed, you think you have this spiritual side, you think you might be psychic, breaking out of that and reconciling the two sides and becoming...
I don't, because we're in the world, right? That's where we're living, and that's where our mission is. So So even our military goes undercover, and this is my cover. But underneath, the soldier in me is the starseed. And in order for me to accomplish my mission, part of who I am has to be concealed. It cannot be wide open to everybody, because the moment that everybody knows who I am no longer effective, nor can I do what I need to do. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. Absolutely makes perfect sense. So, and as I said earlier, you have your own radio show here on Blog Talk Radio, and that is on Mondays at 7 to 8:30 Pacific time. So,
correct. Know,
Eastern time would be 10 to 11:30. And
correct.
I just have to tell you that I listened to your whole show last night, and I was just blown away. I mean, you did such a great job, and your guest was just so believable. I knew that what he was saying was true. It just was really resonant for me. And if you'd like to tell people how they can find your show.
Just put in the search, Mugsy, and it will come up. You can go see. I don't have it memorized. It's also on Psychic Mugsy. It pops right up when you go to my website. But the one thing that with Aaron, that what I have been teaching with my website or with my radio show is I am empowering people to think for themselves. And I'm showing them both sides so that they have discernment. If there's nothing else that I have planted the seeds on this earth is for discernment, I've done my job. Because I know people who used to call other psychics and then later will come back and go, you know, they did this and this, and that doesn't seem very spiritual to me. So the light switch is going on. And with Aaron, some of the phrases he uses, some of the words that he uses is coming from a high vibration. And that's what I was hoping, not only his message, but who's behind him and working him on a spiritual level comes through loud and clear if you have your headphones
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that with him?
Yeah, I mean, I felt it. I felt it. I just knew that he was completely on the mark, and everything fit together. You know, everything fit together. There was just like no incongruities, because it matched things that I had already, like you said, pieces of the puzzle. It matched my pieces, so the picture was real clear. And that's so important, as you said, the discernment, because there's so much disinformation that even sometimes a credible, so you know, you see pictures that are authentic pictures, and then right next to them are faked pictures, so it discredits the real that gets thrown in with the unbelievable. So discernment is very, very important, and I'm so glad that you're doing what you're doing, because you put it out there, and the people that resonate with it, they just know, and it helps them on their path as well.
And remember, every person that we wake up, you're doing the same thing. Every person that we wake up, that means 10 more people are going to get the vibration to wake up. So we all benefit. And there is no reason to sit at home and not be talking about this stuff and not teaching this stuff to your friends and neighbors, is because we all have something to win from this. You know, we're winning this battle against duality. The Christ consciousness is coming forward. We're making a stand, and I think it's a beautiful thing. Lavendar was telling me about one of her dreams that she had the other night, where she was looking up into the sky in her dream, and she was seeing all these lights. But what she didn't know is that she was actually in the reverse situation, where she was being shown all the lights here on Earth that were going on. It was a confirmation of all the people waking up. So I get so excited about that. That's what really fuels me forward.
Well, the cool thing about it, from the things that I've been taught from other people, as well as Lavendar, that it only takes a very small nucleus of consciousness to spread to the masses. You don't have to. You don't, for every, you know, for every 10 people, you don't have to have 6 of them awake to be the majority. You know, because the person whose consciousness is awake and their psychic, telepathic group consciousness, it only takes a few of them to make something really big. You don't understand what I'm saying? We can still be in the minority and still make changes because that consciousness is so much more powerful. That's like one conscious person is like 10 times more powerful than an unconscious person because you're doing things with the deliberate intent.
And with the energy force behind you. Yeah, absolutely. But here's my thing. What I've been shown is that I want to wake everybody up that wants to be awake. So unless you go to them and you talk to them, you don't realize if they want to be awakened or not, if they want the truth. So I talk to everybody. You should see me. My mom gets so embarrassed because I'm always with her. We'll be at lunch. And if somebody, or at the grocery store, and I'll mention something about the New World Order, and if they're like, I know, I want to find out more, I go right to my car. I have handouts ready to go. I give them a list of about 200 key terms to look up, and I just say, take this and digest it as you can. And I leave. And then, of course, you come across those people that don't want to be awake. I don't even waste my time. I just, God bless you. I hope you get what you're looking for. Hope you stay safe, but gotta go. You know, because every one person that wants to stay asleep, there's 10 more people that want to be awakened. And I'm going after those people. And I want to wake up as many people as I can. That is my goal.
And is this,
I'm sure you feel the same.
Completely. Is this list available on your website?
I actually have it on my blog, on Blog Talk Radio. I put my list up there so anybody can go and download it, print it out, make massive copies. I think I have 50 in my car right now. I just went through 50. And then I, when I'm out somewhere, and you're always in your car and you talk to somebody and they're like, yeah, I want to learn more. You just go to your car. It's already made. I pull it out and I give it to them. And this way they can digest it where their psyche can handle it. So there's no way you can give them all the information all at once because you'd make them crazy. So this way they can take it home and they go back. And once you plant the seed, it's going to grow. Whether or not it grows in the fall, spring, or winter, it doesn't matter. It's going to grow. And that's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah. Well, sometimes there's a time delay that you plant the seed, and then that person's own guides will activate it when it's right, when the time is right. But this is
true.
This is part of your dedication to ascension.
Right. Oh, I'm big in ascension. The ascension part is really why I came down here. This is why I wanted to incarnate in this lifetime, and this is my purpose. And it was so funny. The other day I was in my kitchen, and I was getting some water, and I heard two people talking over me. Of course, you know, there's nobody there. It's just the ethers. And they were discussing the Muggsy's team. The Muggsy team that's going to be ascending. And I didn't even realize that I had a Muggsy team that's ascending. But that's the way that the guys upstairs view it, is that each one of us starseeds has a team. And we are all responsible as a group leader to get our group together. And the way that those people are migrating into our group is that we, like you have your people that resonate with you. Lavendar has people that resonates with her. People will resonate with me. They'll gravitate to us, and then we're responsible to give them the tools so that they can ascend. Because what we will do is we're going to go in a group. We don't go individually. They're going to take us in a group. And that is because when we all go, people are going to be looking for familiar faces and people will know mine. So my group will all conjugate together. Your group will conjugate together. Lavenders will, you know, conjugate together. And that way, then they can go forward from there. But they need group leaders for all this. And that's what the Starseed's purpose is.
So what do you see coming? I mean, there's a lot of changes that are coming up as the ascension, each person's individual move towards the ascension continues. But what kind of predictions are you making for our economy, our country, our planet, the environment, any of those subjects? What do you see?
Well, first of all, I have to tell you is that I'm absolutely elated. I have such joy and happiness because I know we're winning. I know that these guys are on their way out, and I'm talking about the Bilderbergs, Illuminati, whoever is on the dark forces. I just want to say thank you so much for teaching me what I don't want to be and making me more convinced of who I am. So for that, I thank them. But I'm out of here, you know. But what I see for my predictions is more and more this is a chess game. This really has to do with if you can stand back, we're playing a game of chess. And if you can start to methodically make your chess moves, you're going to come out with this more than on top. Because these guys are going to go down. They're reincarnation, demonic entities, or whatever you want to call them, that keep reincarnating through just jumping through people that they're not evolving. So we are so much smarter, so much more spiritual than they are. And we have all the cards. And what is so funny to me is that, do you really think that our prime creator, who is so intelligent, didn't know these guys were going to be pulling things like the chemtrails? Our plants all have a dormant gene that has been turned on to collect that chemtrail. So, I mean, there's things that are going on that were pre-planned thousands and thousands of years ago. So the Dark One started 6,000 years ago, and the Prime Creator started 10. And so right now what I see for us is if you can stand back and look at this as a chess game and learn how to maneuver, you will not only get around this, you'll come out prosperous, and then you'll be free of any fear. Your energy levels are going to go up, and that's when you're going to ascend. And that is what graduation day is all about. And you don't graduate until you learn both sides of the coin and you learn how to outsmart them. That's why we came here. So what I see is August, very, very treacherous. We have to be very careful at this time. Same thing with September. They're going to be trying to do something to do, and you know who I mean by they.
Right.
They're going to be trying to pull something with the financial. By October, before November election, I see that the New World Order is trying to have some kind of a red flag event, and they're going to be hitting it hard in October because Obama's trying to take over as prime dictator, and he's got everything set up. So he's really pushing it. So we got to be really careful to send out a love vibration like crazy. Don't get mad. Don't get fearful, because that feeds into their energy that they want to mass produce. So we got to turn it into love. If we can start to put together a survival kit, make sure that our security is in place, get reunited with everybody around us and form a safe group, we're not going to be fearful. I mean, what's to fear? They're going to kill us, so what? We go back to heaven. Hello? But so that's what I see. November, December, and January is going to be the time when the white hats are going to be starting to take these dark forces out. There's going to be some that are called home, the dark ones. To be called home, they're going to be taken off a planet. That's what I see happening. I see more. I was told last night that my star system just arrived in their ships last night. And they showed me, like, I don't know how many thousands are here, and there's several over the United States, and we have several, I don't know how many, but a lot of them are over China and Japan right now, over in Asia. So I found that out, and they told me, don't worry, you know, the might has come. So they're going to be working with us. By February, things are going to be pretty much cleared up, but nobody's going to know about it. It's kind of like they're going to amputate the cancer, but nobody knows it. But February is going to be a really good time. By next year, summer of next year, it's going to dawn on people that this negative force is no longer around. And you're going to start to see, I think it's going to take that long before the fear-mongering goes away. The news, media, and such will be starting to educate people about what really went down. And the people that educated and stood up to them and had a piece in this are going to feel really good about themselves. Not only that, but I think it's going to come out who they really are at that time. Right now, I think that most of us, have this fear that they're going to try to target us. And so what? I'm going to heaven. I'll go paint in my auditorium.
The bottom line is this. We all have friends in high places.
Absolutely.
And they have not only the wisdom and the spirituality, but the technology to intervene and to help us when we need it, as long as we ask.
Yeah, we have to ask, otherwise they're not allowed, because then that's violating our free will. So we have to ask, and each and every one of us is connected to our own star system of people that are coming in to help, and all we have to do is call them for help, and they will show up. So I know my guys showed up last night, and I'm so happy.
Well, Mugsy, I'm going to bring Lavendar on, and because I want to get her, I know she's got some things to say. So, Lavendar, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. I'm sure you've been listening. As I said, as you had said, if you ask three times, and as Mugsy just said, you'd have to ask for their help. And you always say to ask three times in a row.
Yeah, ask three times in a row. Because there's a resonant tone of when you ask a question three times, it's like the light bulb goes on. And that means that you're ready to receive the answer, and it also lets whatever guidance system turn on to bring the answer. So knock three times, yeah, it's good. Enjoyed so much what you've had to say on the show today, and I've just known you for a short period of time, and yet I feel like I've known you for just a very long, long time. So it's just I'm very humbled and honored to, at the same time, to have you in my world. I'm just beaming and looking out at these clouds. These clouds in front of me today are actually making pictures of people and animals, and the divas are around. And I think we have a ship over the house, because it's gotten really dark all at once, and there's not, any weather supposed to be coming. So we've got great attendance today, and I just I'm really appreciative that you came on our show.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure. I never get to say my story about I don't say never. I mean, I give bits and pieces, but not quite like this. And it's good, because I know that it's going to resonate with other people, that they, too, have gone through similar situations. And that means that they probably have some connection to my star system, which means that they probably are getting kicked in the butt right now to get going, because my guides, they're not, I've talked to other guides, and they're so nice and so sweet and so gentle. My guides are not. And it comes across in my readings.
Also, we're coming up on a time where practice time is over. This is the real deal now. There's no more practice time. So,
that's true.
Star seeds are the ones that are activated and awake and ready to go. Those are the ones that, I've been working with. And I think what you do is wake people up. And what I think I do is, after they're awake and been on the training for a while, I think that's where I come in, because I have, the specialized training for, working with galactic energies. You've heard me say spiritual and galactic are not the same. And you go through a spiritual awakening, and then you go into a spiritual training, and then, depending on the cause and effects and your intent and your bloodline and your soul resonance, then determines where you play galactically. And that's, of course, that's where I come in. But we all have a different role. You know, like Ariel, she does music, and she's an entertainer, and, you know, she has another life. And in her entertaining and where she goes, she activates people all the time.
Oh, absolutely. The next thing that my guides are going to be teaching me is the harmonics and the importance of harmonics, and Ariel's already there, which is the last step of ascension, by the way.
Well, of course.
So you can see where I'm the beginning. Lavendar, you're the middle, and Ariel's the end. See how it fits?
Yeah, okay.
Well, you know, the beauty of the every starseed came because they have a special set of skills that, I mean, it certainly would serve no purpose if everybody just did the same thing. We have to have every, you know, kind of expert on the planet doing things with various backgrounds of and functions for all the work to get done. We have to have many, many different levels and kinds of teachers.
Absolutely.
And how does this, Lavendar, how does this, this is tying in to the August Harmonic Convergence information that I know that you have for us today?
Yes,
because
it does.
It's a timing.
I would probably like to go to that next because when I cleaned out some of my boxes recently, this paper literally fell out on the floor. And I wrote it on August 18th, 1987, on a continental flight from Phoenix to Houston at 8:50 in the morning. And when I read it, I said, oh, my goodness, you know, I've forgotten about this. Because I used to, you know, get on airplanes and fly and ride all the time. And, of course, that got very expensive, but I was with a very rich man at that time, so he didn't mind. But I needed the titanium over the wings so that I could really pick up the signals very straight and clear. So anytime I'm on an airplane, I'm usually, you know, picking up information and writing. So at this time, I really would like to share with you and the listeners what I wrote the day on my way to Yucatan. And I told the story last week about going to Yucatan and going out in the water with my friend Norma. And we held hands, and the water turned purple around us in this turquoise water. A ship came over above us, beamed down this energy that kind of paralyzed us where we couldn't move. And behind us was Japanese photographers clicking their cameras. And, of course, I put the call out, if anybody has a picture of this, please send it to us. We really want to see this picture. All these years I've known that someone had taken pictures of this event. So I would like to read now something that I wrote that really has a lot to do with what's going to happen this August 20th, because it will actually be the anniversary. And when I say August 20th, this is like a, you know, this is the cherry on top of the ice cream. You know, this is the time when all these August 20th anniversaries we've had since 87, it's like you're a bottle. And, you know, 1 inch goes in every year, 1 inch, 1 inch, 1 inch. Well, our bottles are about 3/4 full, and they're doing this gigantic fill-up on August 20th. And that means the beings that were selected to be part of this starseed experiment on the planet would have full activation in their bodies, in their DNAs, and in their soul records on August 20th. So this is kind of you talk about graduation, this is kind of a graduation time for me to be on the radio talking about this, because I was in on the seeding of the operation in 1987. So I would like to start reading what I wrote. August 18th, 1987, 8:50 in the morning, flight from Phoenix to Houston. Today is the first day of the rest of my life. I used to see that statement written and I'd smile and think, what a nice saying. Well, today I finally understand. I understand from the different aspects of myself, but today I seem to be focused on the galactic blood that is running through my veins. I feel that the August Harmonic Convergence, which was an alignment of planets in a grand fire trion on August 16th and 17th of 1987, facilitated a change of command of energies on planet Earth. Throughout the history of planets and their evolutionary states, There always seems to be times when there is a changing of the guard, so to speak. This changing comes about because of timing with other cosmic clocks and calendars, not because of judgment of what is right or wrong or what is not working, but as a matter of cosmic clock precision, which matches other solar systems and their celestial timings. The Mayan and Aztec calendars were put together by seers of that day and were instructed by extraterrestrials who came and gave them their instructions through crystal coatings through their bloodlines. Some of these crystal coatings were later taken and coated into stone at sacred sites, such as temples and pyramids. The harmonics placed in these stones would be time-released along with other planetary harmonics, and the timing of these releasements would match in perfect harmony with the bloodlines on the planet. For thousands of years, the predominant energy, which has been aggressive, forceful, demanding energy, has been masculine in manifestation. Think of it. For the past 4,600 years, planet Earth has been male-oriented. Most genetic codings have been to serve man, and if this meant divide and conquer or subservient energy, then it was so. The lessons of linear thought was brought to man and coded within his blood crystals and passed on to his male children. For this was the time of third-dimensional linear thought, and the women that were to bear these children knew within their souls that most male children would have within them this linear thought programming. The women also knew that some bloodlines of the women would also carry certain kinds of starseed coatings that would be the bloodline of the next root race for the planet Earth. Some of these women were brought from other planets in order to facilitate the planning of an entire species that would emerge on the planet. The matching of bloodlines brought from places like the Pleiades, Cirrus, Vega, Orion, Antares, Arcturus, Andromeda, Lyra, Venus, and many others were done at sacred places, and the preparation was conducted by extraterrestrials from space stations or ships, and all was planned accordingly with the evolution of the species consistently being monitored, watched very carefully by the supervisors of the blood lineage. These experiments were not left to chance because the balance of planet Earth depended upon the coordination and timing of celestial planning, with the time switch being placed in the blood. Around the Earth, these sacred sites were designated into 33 different locations, later were referred to as the 33 gem power points. Because they held within them the crystal coatings of creation and co-creation that were brought forth by the female frequencies. Some of these 33 gem power points have been resurrected in grid and ley line frequency to match the bloodlines that visit, whether they be humans born of Earth or space beings from other ships and dimensions. There has been a pilgrimage around the world for many years now by those driven to in their minds and hearts to visit these sacred sites. Also, those that help from spaceships and space midway stations have also ventured to Earth on a pilgrimage to check on the bloodlines that were left by them and others. They, too, have been curious to how some of their experiments have actually turned out. But mostly those are coming back to Earth to help empower their bloodlines and to give spiritual and galactic instructions and to further boost the blood crystals into alignment with other sister planets and other sister solar systems. So, the August Harmonic Convergence of August 16th, 17th, 1987 was the celebration of the ending of one galactic experiment and the birthing of a new one. And so it is this day of your counting that August 18th, 1987 is the first day of a three-day activation of a new blood coatings which hold the perfect balance of male-female energies on the planet. The Goddess Ray, which was sent all over the world, also reactivated some of the sacred sites where some of the women brought forth these special children that in turn would become the leaders of the world through different evolutionary periods. The gods and goddesses of the past experiments had left behind at these sacred sites some extraterrestrial crystal-coated balancing beams, and these beams hold the perfect balance of male-female, the yin and yang of creation. in these balancing beams, which were mostly coated into stone, were activation grids of mathematics that would also be released at the proper time, where advanced technology that would help facilitate the growth of future root races and their leaders. At different times through planetary alignment, these balancing beams have been awakened unto the people on the planet. These cosmic clocks are kept in divine accordance and regulated by the stars. The blueprint of this operation is held in the crystal computer at the Antares Arcturus Midway Station, located 15 degrees of Sagittarius, and is in alignment with 26 degrees of Sagittarius, which holds all the programs within this universe. This Midway Station is one of the many functioning through the 26-degree galactic center. The alignment of the August harmonic convergence actually was activated when the Sun, Mercury, Venus, and Mars were 26 degrees of Leo, which in turn triggered every star seed holding within their blood, in their blood, 26-degree blood coatings, regardless of the sign of the planet or house placement within the chart. The 26-degree activation took place, and the 26 Sagittarius beamed a crystal mirror to the planet to help in this activation. Every 33 gem PowerPoint, without exception, started to pulsate with the frequency beam of 26 degrees from galactic center. This was the degree by which, in ancient times, women would receive the galactic coatings for their children. Many immaculate conceptions were performed at these sacred sites when 26 degrees were predominant in the sky. Also, many births on and off the planet would also have this matched 26-degree coding. So now it's become apparent that on August 20th, when four planets are 26 degrees of Leo, that again on planet Earth the children would be conceived and born upon the planet and would bring with them the codings of advanced spiritual and scientific knowledge that would help in the raising of consciousness all over the planet in the years to come. Also, let it be known that some galactic baby experiments that have been conducted over the past 500 years will also emerge among the consciousness of the planet. These beings that have resided upon spaceships for most of their training will now be allowed to come to Earth and empower the crystalline programs of their Earth mothers and their galactic fathers. The quarantine placed around Earth after the downfall of Atlantis had to be removed in order for the beaming of the down and up again frequencies that would match the re-entry codes for this time. These half-human, half-galactic beings are beautiful to behold and a delight to have as a balancing influence. They will eventually mate with others of their kind that were born on Earth in previous times. This will be closely supervised because an entire species depends on it. This new code, now beaming on 26-degree galactic rays, are beacons, pulsating from the planet at 33 gem PowerPoints. To your question of Tulum, the temple of the moon goddess, it was the fifth gem PowerPoint to be activated into the place of immaculate conceptions. Lemuria, Atlantis, Peru, and Egypt were before Tulum. The other gem PowerPoints will be put in print much later. It is not for distribution at this time because of some disruptive energies of terrorist faction. Take the list we gave you and put it away. More gem PowerPoints have been activated in your Western Hemisphere because the women of the world will be led from energy packets of information coming out of these areas. Also, when drawn, will match a coded star alignment in the sky, and more about how that will be later. Now back to Tulum. This particular gem PowerPoint was and is regulated to the feminine ray of creation and the co-creation of the gods and goddesses of the Pleiades and other realms. Tulum was one of the first places to inhabit the women who were to conceive children from the gods. Immaculate conceptions were quite ordinary in those days, and women went about their task caring for these children and then placing them in training centers fit for gods and goddesses. The matching of the training place had to match the crystal blood coatings of the children. The place that you call Tulum has had three different building structures. Most were torn down by warring factions, and then later rebuilt. We're talking about the first structure, when Atlantis was still visible and flourishing. Many came from Atlantis to witness the birth of the gods and goddesses. Yes, Tulum was a genetic experimental station at the same time as the one on the island of Aruba. They have a lot in common as far as the female energy of co-creator space. Break now, more later, out, Celine.
And for those who don't know, who is Celine?
Celine was one of my contacts that I've had off and on aboard ship, and she was a right-hand partner of Athena during the time of Greece, and she comes and goes, and she's been very instrumental in training some of the women that I have worked with on the planet, and some of the men. She's a very, very high being, and she doesn't come very often anymore, but she has surfaced in the last 2 or 3 days, and of course, I think this paper was just placed there by her. So
yeah, it didn't just fall out of the box.
I mean, things have been kind of happening that way. You know, I had this fortune cookie fly down the other day, that, you know, out of the air. I thought that was kind of interesting. Just all kinds of things have been happening lately. So I do have one more page that she has written. Let me just continue. Now, continuing the flight from Houston to Cancun, Mexico, 1:44 p.m. I'm back on another flight now. Celine here. Yes, okay. Now we will begin again. We here have fed you in your sleep a lot of information, plus the codings you were given years ago are now activated within your blood crystals. To your question of where we are at this moment, we are flying over you on top of this craft, as not to be detected by the plane there or by radar. We are fully phased, which means that if another aircraft came by, they would be able to see us, but not your pilots or those monitoring this plane. Now, okay, we are in a small 18-foot circular scout ship. Now to your question of the children. Those that were inbred with the gods and goddesses of the realms are still now on Earth. Many have within them countless number coded blood crystals that have started at exclusive times at its certain activations over the past 6.5 years since January of 1981. All over the world, blood crystals have been activated into knowingness. Within the next 6 months, you'll be physically meeting those bloodlines. Some you have met already. Also, you may meet your own bloodline, those that you helped to seed from Tulum, Aruba, Greece, and England. Yes, a true mother of the original bloodline. You also have been known as a universal mother, carrying many bloodlines at once. More on that later. Even those that you helped code when the serums came down from the ships during the time of Princess Adelina. Yes, some of those children have now grown into gods and goddesses of the realms. Now let's talk about some of these meetings that you will have. Some will be fast and furious with brief moments of recognition, and some will only be a flash from the eyes, a sudden recognition, and then poof, it'll be gone. Some will recognize those of you that have carried these bloodlines, and perhaps you will not recognize them. There are no rules to this kind of recognition, only happenings. This is also true of Hallie Girl, Hallie being a name not to be a coincidence, but by planning. Her vibrational name gives off a tone of reaching for the stars, hallelujah, meaning that Edmund Halley, an astronomer, was her husband and companion on and off the planet. Let us make it clear that he was not her husband while he was Edmund, but her lover mostly and student. You did not receive or understand the signal, so please correct this. Okay, now corrected. Sit back. Take a deep breath. And receive the frequency from us here. Ben is here with me. Jules is in the back of the ship. The Star of Bethlehem. There will be many that will interface with both of you. We here have been planning this with Hallie Girl for many years. Yes, she is ready. Yes, she can do the work that is coming. You can depend on that. We have some energies within her now activated, and we will furnish the activation in the next few days. Her recognition of Tulum and other spaces will be the eye-opener for her cosmic awareness. Yes, her children are many. She is the bearer of many fruit upon the planet. Her original home, the Pleiades. She, however, will not go home for many years yet. Her work has just started from this lifetime. Relax now. Take the beam out, Selene. So we got down to Tulum, Hallie and myself, and I did see the activation happen within her, and I got to witness how she was supportive of me and the work. And in fact, she went in, it was almost like an automatic pilot that just kind of came over her, and it was astonishing. You know, after we got back to Arizona, our paths, you know, changed, and she went her way and I went mine. I have not seen or spoken to her since then. I've often wondered what's happened to her, but I know that, you know, she's been activating starseed wherever she goes. So I just wanted to share that with everyone because of the timing of what's happening now. So if either one of you have questions about what I have just read, go ahead.
So that experiment, that coding, and everything that was initiated in 1987 is coming to fruition now, and the resulting activations are just going to be everywhere.
Yes, and they're ongoing. And on all these, and the children that were born after 87, that, and they're having children now, you know, they're continuing the root race.
So they're doing their work, and some of them are awake and some of them are not awake?
Some of them are awake, some of them aren't. You know what? Sometimes you don't have to be consciously awake to be an activating starseed. Let me explain. There are people that are caught in, you know, religious dogma, and they're starseed, and they're activating people regardless. You know, the truth's the truth. And they activate, their truth ray just goes off. And it may not be the truth about heaven, hell, their creator, the Bible, and spaceships. That might not be the truth. The truth is, how are they living their lives? How are they giving? How are they receiving? How are they helping their neighbor? How are they expressing their love vibration? Are they buying birthday cards for their best friends? Are they holding someone in a grief-stricken moment? Are they in hospice working and helping the dying cross over? These are the jobs of the starseed. There's some that will be conscious, and they'll be awake to the point of knowing why they're doing what they're doing. And there's others that will just be on automatic pilot because that's just the way it is.
Which is a good reason.
Many different levels of awareness.
Which is a good reason why, you know, starseed who are awake and conscious and well along their path to be careful what you say to who, because you never know who they really are.
That's right. And there's going to be a lot of ships that are coming down. This is a big day of monitoring from a lot of species. And I do know that in the Tulum area that we will have probably several spaceships at that location over a three-day period. So anyone that's traveling to Mexico, to Tulum, video camera, please take pictures. Let me know. I would love to see what's happening there. And the thing that I always thought was interesting about Tulum is it was a galactic baby experimental station. I always thought there was something about when I first, you know, heard about it and I walked the temples and I could feel the energies of the beings that were born and how they were distributed, you know, back into the system. They, you know, a lot of them went back to Atlantis after they were born there, and, you know, and a lot of them then of course took mighty ships and took crystals and buried them around the planets, and they also buried information for later, and some of them later became scientists of Atlantis and went up to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and and, you know, mined the crystals there and coated the crystals. I mean, this story goes on and on and on, and a lot of it started at Tulum. So,
and do you think that on August 20th that Starseed may experience a transformation of some kind or an elevation?
Absolutely.
A little leg up.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Now, you've heard me talk about the walk-ins that are here, the Pleiadians that came in November, and the ones that got, you know, kind of, they weren't asleep for 6 months. They were just trying to get a handle on some things, like what to eat and who to sleep with and what movies to watch. I mean, just ordinary things. But in May, they kind of just went into another gear. Well, you've heard me talk about that. Well, here is this is an adjoining team of activation of people on the planet that are going to turn around and help all those Pleiadians that came in November and that became consciously awakened in May. It's like a layer cake. You know, one layer here, another layer there. But, you know, it's kind of, this is a graduation time of acceleration, like aboard the ship. When you look down on the planet on August 20th, what do you think they'll be watching? They're going to be watching little lights go on everywhere. And the big lights will be the 33GM PowerPoints where all the crystal computers are buried underneath the sacred sites. The balancing beams are going to go on. And all kind. It's like a light show. And there's going to be a lot of cobalt blue that comes from these places. The cobalt blue will be very, very predominant in some areas. In other areas, it's going to be emerald green. Then there's going to be lavender spots. You know, it's going to be a kaleidoscope. So a lot of spaceships are coming in. They want to see the show. This is their 4th of July, okay? It is their celebration. Celebration.
Well, I'd like to think of it as an Independence Day myself.
Yeah.
Tell us about those walk-ins. I know you have several different types of walk-ins. Could you just go over those? We only have about 10, 13 minutes left, and we have some callers with questions, so we can.
Why don't we just do? Let me just save the walk-ins for another time, since we don't have the time. And I'd like for Muggsy to answer, you know, some people have called in to talk to her. I'd like to give them the opportunity to do that. If anyone is upset if they came on just to hear about walk-ins, well, you know what? I will do it next week, okay? We are running out of time. So why don't we go ahead and answer some phone calls?
Okay. Well, we first of all have caller from, well, Zingy Raquel, do you have a question? Hello, you're on the air.
No, I don't have a question. I'm just listening. Sorry. Thank you.
Okay, sorry. Well, you had your hand up, so I thought maybe you did. But thank you so much for listening. We'll move on. Okay, from Area 440, do you have a question or comment for Muggsy or Lavendar?
Yes, this is Deborah. I have a question for what's happening August 20th of this year. Is it going to happen to all star seeds, or is it just going to happen to star seeds that were born before 87?
No, this is a combination effort. This is a star seed activation period all over the planet. There'll be different degrees of activation. Some will get it stronger than others because of who they are, but it will be, you know, it will be starseed activation. And if you have a 25, 26, 27 degree planet or house cusp in your chart, your activations will be different than others, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
And for, this is a question to Muggsy and you, Lavendar, to all starseeds that were born on the 80s and most recently coming up here to like 90s and 2000, what is your advice to them to activate their abilities that are hidden away?
Mugsy, you take this one.
Well, personally, I think what happens with your activation is that when you're ready, you're turned on. They are not going to turn you on unless, number one, you can protect yourself, number two, you're grounded, and number three, you're not going to get a big head about it or use it in a malicious intent. So what they do is they will give you a little bit of your memories and also your psychic abilities in small doses, and then they sit back and they see what you do with it. And if somebody still isn't developed enough to use that power in a positive manner, then they either A, won't develop any further until they get it, or B, it will just be taken away from them. And I've seen a lot of people that on TV and stuff, a lot of famous people that had psychic abilities that no longer do. And now they're trying to fake it. So your activation has to do with when you're ready, because your guides aren't going to give you something that you're not ready for. You know, you have to be ready for it mentally, but also spiritually. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Well,
if you want, if you want more of that and you want them to know that you're ready, education is the key. The smarter you are, the smarter your guides are going to be, and the more information they're going to give you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Good luck.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
That was a great question.
Yes, it was. We have another caller here from the 850 area. You're on the air. Hello. Are you still there? I thought I heard someone hang up.
I think so, too.
I think I scared him. Okay, moving on. Caller from the 815 area. Do you have a question? No, it sounded like somebody taking a bath. Okay. A caller from the 919 area. Do you have a question for Lavendar or Mugsy? You're on the air.
Hi. I think that's me, unless there's more than one.
No, that's just one. You're the only one from 919.
Okay, good. I actually had a question for Mugsy, and I listened to her and Aaron last night, and that was fantastic, and I loved it. It's great to hear Aaron on the other end and of being interviewed, and now you as well. I was wondering if you were giving any small readings at all.
I do private readings on predictmyfuture.com. Next week on my radio show, Andy and I, who is the rock and roll psychic, we're going to do a full hour of doing readings. So if you want to call in next week, that's the show to get, because you'll get both of us. And
okay,
we're going to be ready to go. Right now, I'm going to give you this. For the last 4 months, your energy has been whacked out. I don't know what's going on with you, but you need to balance yourself. Have you been noticing changes in yourself, mood changes, sleep changes, things like that?
Hugely. It has been, it's been really crazy. For the first time in my life, I have huge insomnia. And it's been huge, yeah, exactly the last 4 months, and I don't know how to get it back into out of whack.
You're not. What you're going to have to do is stabilize, and you're going to have to ground yourself. I don't know always how to ground myself, because when they're activating you, they're just going to activate you. Lavendar, do you know good ways to ground yourself?
Well, the sleep thing is, you know, they're beaming satellites to keep you awake so that you'll go to your doctor and get Ambien. That's a program that's happening. And what I do is I take a product called Altaril that has a combination of different herbs that helps me sleep. Too much melatonin will make me too groggy the next day. I try different things at different times. You know, since I was hit by lightning, then, you know, I go through spells of just not sleeping for days. And sometimes you don't need a whole lot of sleep. But I am very disturbed at the satellites beaming energies down so that people will stay awake. It's a sleep deprivation program that they're placing on a lot of people on the planet, and that's a violation, and I really do wish someone would stop that.
Yeah, it's only been recently. I won't go get the medication. It won't happen.
That's good. I could tell you what I do. It might help. I'm really, really connected to trees and nature, and I find that very grounding. I used to have a tree that I would go and just stand there and hold it for, you know, minute after minute, after, you know, 30 minutes, just keep your back up against a tree because they're the most grounded things there are, and try to take that energy with you. And if you were someplace where you couldn't get into nature, just go there mentally.
Okay.
To the tree.
Well, that explains the visions of tree roots then.
It works for me. I hope it, you know, it's try it.
You said the activations. Was that like a starseed activation or an activation for, you know, by the powers that be?
You're
well,
being activated.
The satellites. Yeah, it's a controlling mind control program that's going on.
Oh, that's not
but there's
good. That's
two different things going on, because there's that, and then her guides have been working on her for 4 months, so she's getting whammied.
Yeah, it's coming from lots of places, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, I need to contact you elsewhere for a longer reading. I really appreciate it, and I like what you guys are doing. I thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Oh,
nice. Well, we're just gonna make it. We have one more caller with a question, and let's see, from the 970 area code, you're on the air. Do you have a question for Muggsy or Lavendar?
I do. Thank you. This is Julie. I was wondering, with these starseed activations and the work that I do, the healing work that I do, I'm very drawn to starseeds. During this activation, is there a possibility that I will be activated and know how to help starseeds, or if it's not appropriate for me, that just won't happen? I guess I'm a little confused. I'm kind of lost as knowing how to help others with this whole process, if that's my sole purpose.
Me?
Well, this is Lavendar. You know, this is going to be like riding a horse. Once you know how to ride a horse, you ride a horse or a bike. And, Julie, you know this from other lifetimes. So it's going to be natural for you.
Okay.
I'm real surprised you asked that question, because you really know this answer. You know that it's coming, and that you know you're part of it, and you know that you're going to help others when they show up.
I do believe all of that. I just sometimes think I've gone through so much, and will I just magically know how to do all of this? And I guess I'm just going to have to trust that.
No.
Because
I have to speak up. October, you're getting your information.
Yeah, it's alignment. It's your alignment.
In October,
alignment.
You will be getting the information.
Oh,
it's
in
like
October?
Cooking, you just know the ingredients to put in to make the soup. You'll know. When the person shows up and you touch them, you'll know what to say, where to touch them, what to do. It'll just happen.
Mm.
And
you're saying
Muggsy,
that
starting when, Muggsy?
In October, the information that she's requesting is going to be coming to her.
Okay.
It will be coming in the physical, not just once you read it, it will resonate as truth, and then that's when Lavendar stuff comes in. But what she's looking for is coming in October, and it will be in the physical form. You'll be led to it.
Okay. So
just
I'll
make sure you walk through the door.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mom. I want to be walking my soul's purpose, so thank you. I appreciate that.
And
you are so welcome, and thank you for calling in. We only have a minute to go, so I want to take this time to thank you so much, Muggsy, for spending your time with us and in sharing your wisdom and your experiences, as well as Lavendar. Thank you, and as promised, we will continue with the walk-ins in more depth next week on our show. And until then, all of you listening, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. And we are honored to be all part of the same energy.
Yes.
So,
and what's your and Muggsy, what is your website again?
It's MsMuggsy.com or PsychicMuggsy.com.
Okay, good.
Okay. All right, well, see us on starseedhotline.com, and that's it for all the .coms today. Thank you so much for joining us. It's Arielle Taylor saying goodbye.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.